Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning, the last Sunday of November. Starting tomorrow, we go into December. Can you believe it? I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know we did. We really enjoyed the kids coming over and everything. And I just really thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to do that in this crazy day and hour that we're in. And I pray that all of your homes had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And as we are getting ready to go into the Christmas season, I want to take the next few weeks to really stress and really encourage you guys not to give up on Christmas. And I'm going to read you the story from Wikipedia, what Wikipedia says about Christmas. Christmas is an annual festival commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ, observed primarily on December 25th as a religious and cultural celebration among billions of people around the world. A liturgical feast central to Christianity, Christmas preparation begins on the first Sunday of Advent. You know, this is probably thinking Catholic, but and is followed by Christmastide, which historically in the West lasts 12 days and culminates on the 12th night. Christmas Day is a public holiday in many countries. It's observed religiously by a majority of Christians, as well as celebrated culturally by many non-Christians, and forms an integral part of the holiday season. The traditional Christmas narrative recounted in the New Testament, known as the Nativity of Jesus, says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in accordance with messianic prophecies. When Joseph and Mary arrived in the city, the inn had no room, and so they were offered a stable where the Christ child was soon born, with angels proclaiming the news to the shepherds, who then spread the word. There are different hypotheses regarding the date of the birth of Jesus. In the early 4th century, the church fixed the date as December 25th, the date of the winter solstice in the Roman Empire. It is 9 months after the Annunciation of March 25th, also the Roman date of the spring equinox. Most Christians celebrate on December 25th in the Gregorian calendar, which has been adopted almost universally in the civil calendars used in countries throughout the world. However, part of the Eastern Christian churches celebrate Christmas on December 25th of the older Julian calendar, which currently corresponds to the January 7th in the Gregorian calendar. Now listen to this. For Christians, celebrate that God came in the world. It's not the date so much as it is this right here. God came into the world in the form of a man to atone for the sins of humanity is more important than knowing Jesus Christ's exact birth date. Bam. So I'm encouraging you guys not to give up on Christmas, because this is what the beast wants, is people to leave the Christian holiday. So as for us in this ministry, we're not. And so for the next few weeks, I'm going to be singing a few Christmas songs. But we're going to start off today with What a Mighty God We Serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a loving God we serve. What a loving God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a loving God we serve. What a holy God we serve. Amen. What a holy God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a holy God we serve. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of praise. Boy, it brings back memories, don't it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, this one's a Christmas song. Oh, Holy Night. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel's voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Can y'all imagine what that night was really like? Oh, night divine. That song is very high. Okay, let's go to the last one, and then we will open this up for Pastor. This one is called Silent Night, since we're focusing on the night that he was born. Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, darkness flies, all is light. Shepherds hear thee, angels sing. Isn't this beautiful? Hallelujah, hail to the King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Don't y'all love this? Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at your birth, Jesus, Lord, at your birth. Last one. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend the light with the angels, led us sing. Hallelujah to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Yay! Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for all the church that they have the best Christmas season in spite of all the madness that they've ever had, that it will be the most memorable and enjoyable one celebrating you coming into this earth and giving us hope. And that's what we hold on today in this very tumultuous hour, is that hope of your birth and what that really meant to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's open this up to Pastor, who God has been dealing with all week about this sermon. I'm so excited to hear what God has got to say today. I just thank the Lord for this fresh manna that we have coming from heaven. It's not a pre-made sermon, people. It's not. This is fresh manna. This is what I love about our pastor. Hello, Pastor. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hope everybody's doing well out there. We got a very kind of dreary day today. It's very overcast, kind of like yesterday, too. The sun barely popped out yesterday. Today it's really overcast and kind of dreary, but praise the Lord, we're still here.
Yeah.
Thanks for those songs, Mama, and all that you do. Praise to the Lord. I guess the first, I got a lot of scriptures here, and I don't know, you know, I know we're in the Thanksgiving, you know, season and everything, and I was looking into that. I don't know, you know, what really to say, and you know, there's so many scriptures. I mean, just all through the Bible, it talks about giving thanks, you know, and having a heart of gratitude, and you know, you just can't get away from it. That's, you know, and we'll get to some scriptures, but the main one is just giving thanks in all things. So good times, bad times, whatever. And my focus is kind of more on giving thanks, you know, unto the Lord God Almighty, you know, through his son Jesus. And also I'll be giving some scriptures about giving thanks for spiritual wisdom and faithful brethren or faithful teachers. Because over and over, you know, through the, you know, the scriptures, especially the New Testament, it always starts out with a salute, you know, to the brethren. And you know, the apostles are always so thankful for the brethren and their faithfulness. And so those are kind of my focus, I guess. The first thing I want to mention, though, because this week this has come up, you know, all about AI, you know, and the time of the end and how AI plays into everything and all that. And there's people talking about the scriptures, you know, and how all this points to AI, you know, and there's so many people out there who are adopting AI and into their church. And we looked into this week. I know June's been talking about it, and I kind of looked at, you know, just punched in AI in the Bible, and you got all these different people talking about it and the scriptures. And I believe there's so many scriptures that are, you know, people are twisting to okay the use of AI. And again, AI can be used for good and evil. There's no doubt about it. And to me, one of the biggest things, I guess, is that so many people are adopting AI to where, you know, they don't even want, you know, they're not thinking on their own. They're not being, what's the word I want to use? You know, just intelligent on their own, or seeking, you know, wisdom through books and stuff like that. Instead, they just go right to AI all the time, right to AI, you know, and stuff. And, you know, we're all guilty of that somewhat. But also, I want to focus on, you know, the Bible says, you know, to seek the Lord, to seek his word for divine wisdom. And to me, that's more important than anything. But the first scriptures I want to go read is from Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12. And I'm just going to read down to verse 4. But verse 4 is the main scripture that, you know, I believe is for the end time, no doubt, because most of Daniel is about the end time prophecy. So let's start with verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they shall be wise, And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Okay. And that verse, you know, and knowledge shall be increased. You know, and we're there now, you know. Like we were saying, all you got to do is hit Google or chat or whatever, and you know, everything's there at your fingertips. Knowledge is just increasing exponentially. You know what I mean? Just, wow, you know, you're just amazed at all what, you know, everybody has to say or whatever. But to me, this, you know, AI is all part of this. That, you know, but what does it say? Many shall run to and fro. They're going here, they're going there, and back and forth, and here and there, and, you know, it's just craziness. And we can see that.
Pop, I would like to add something, because this is really on my spirit. Because I'm taking notes, and I do want to tell you guys that our website is down, but I found out that all of Tidely's websites are down, so they've got a major outage today. But I am taking notes, and when the website gets put back up, I will put it on there. But when you're talking about AI and the knowledge thereof and encouraging the church, you know, to trust in the Lord, really what you're saying is don't get addicted to AI. And many are running to and fro, like you said, but they're seeking a truth. And this is where the danger is. There's many truths out there, but it doesn't mean we're supposed to know all these truths. Because it will, this knowledge will swallow you up. That's all, Papa.
Right. You know, like it says here, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. To shame, you know what I mean? Shame on you. You know, you're seeking all this knowledge of men and artificial intelligence and blah, blah, blah. But you didn't seek the truth to set you free. You know, I just had to throw that in there. But anyway, so in 2 Timothy, is chapter 3 is about the coming apostasy. You know, the great falling away, you know, all this. And verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. You know, we have to have the truth. You know, if it don't line up with the scriptures, the truth, the knowledge, you know, divine knowledge, you know, then that's what people aren't doing. And we're seeing, you know, like false accusers. Look at what, you know, the big man is doing, false accusing people that don't go with his truth. You know, boasters and, you know, just, it's crazy. But I want to read the last, go down to verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, that's the most important thing. You know, and here, I want to go back up to that verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and thou hast been assured of. You know, he's talking about what, you know, Paul's telling Timothy and them there that, hey, you know, continue the things that we've been teaching you, because we're, you know, Jesus taught us these things. And we're teaching you, and it has to be passed on. And, you know, to know of whom thou hast learned them. You know, who are you getting that, what you're learning from? He's encouraging them, hey, you know, here we are. You know, firmly believe of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, believe, firmly believe what they're teaching you. You know, and from a child, from a babe, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Hey, I ain't going to make you wise unto salvation. Amen. You know, so it's hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast learned of me in faith and love, which in Christ Jesus, that's 2 Timothy 1:13, who has saved us and called us with holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1. Turn back a page. Or 2. 2 Timothy 1. Whoops, I guess I'm in 1 Timothy. I'm sorry. Gotta go forward. Went back page too much. 2 Timothy 1:9 is what I read. Then I want to read on, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, he brought life and eternity. I mean, he's bringing everything to the light. The light of what? The light of truth. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. There you go. You know, the preachers and the apostle and a teacher. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And who did he learn this all from? Jesus. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast learned of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, kept by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. You know, you're learning these things. He's saying, look at all this stuff I learned from Jesus, and I'm keeping it in my heart and everything, and I'm sharing it with you, these sound words. You know, and now, which dwelleth, what? By the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost is going to rise up the truth to lead and guide you in this crazy times, especially now. Amen. You know, we are called to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are, as an occasion for writing the epistles was, as now today, was the need to maintain the faith and to ensure the continuity of the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, it's a solemn charge. That good thing which was committed unto thee, kept by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in this, you know, 2 Timothy 1:14, which I just read. It was the heart of the pastoral epistles of Timothy and Titus, you know, this charge to keep the faith, the deposit, the written record by the works of the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul's personally, you know, personally getting and thanksgiving for the solution to Timothy. You know, he's giving thanks to Timothy. He's greeting Timothy and giving thanksgiving for, you know, to Timothy, his dearly beloved son. You know, if you read Timothy verse 1 here, let's read 2 Timothy Chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ. I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. He remembers Timothy. He's giving praise and thanks to God for Timothy. Because Timothy's what? He's holding fast to the truth. You know, to his what? Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. You know, he's so thankful for Timothy. He's holding on to the faith, you know. In 1 Corinthians 10:23 states, everything is permissible, but not everything beneficial. This verse, you know, is often used to discuss the ethical use of technology and the importance of considering the consequences of its development and deployment. So you might just say it's a warning. You know, it's permissible. Yeah, you can use it. But is it ethical? What's the consequences? The fear, Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This verse can be seen as a basis for arguing that true wisdom as opposed to mere intelligence, comes from a divine source, whatever that intelligence is. You know. You know, it's Thanksgiving for these faithful followers, these faithful men, you know, that are following after Paul's teaching, that are following after Jesus. You know, Paul's presentation of the gospel as a trust to be preserved, cherished, and committed to the faithful men. And Paul's words gain peculiar humbleness and weight because they were the last to come from his pen. His final testimony in 2 Timothy 4, verses 5 through 8. And I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, which I read this. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, clear thinking. It's interesting. Last night, me and June was watching this show, and it was about the end times. June just happened to come across it, and we started watching it. And we watched the first, you know, couple episodes. And through the whole thing, what I seen was these people were living in fear. And it was about the darkness. How this cloud of darkness would come over people and they lived in fear. And then some bright object, which was the devil, would shine through this darkness and the people cower down, you know. And there was just all kinds of these little things in this movie where, you know, these people, these Christians, were cowering, were in fear. And I seen this over and over in this show. And I mentioned to June, look at, why don't they stand up? You know, here's this dark cloud coming on them, you know, and stand up and rebuke it. Stand up and rebuke that false light, you know. They did none of that through this whole show. They just all were living in fear. But what does it say here? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, we have to stand up to this. Boy, I see it. Amen. Proverbs 15. Let's turn to Proverbs 15. Verse 32, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom and honor and humility. And ain't that what Paul had? He had humility. That's what he was saying. But he that refuses instruction, and what was he? He was giving them praise and thanks, you know, to Timothy and his fellow brethren because they didn't refuse instruction. They didn't refuse the truth. Here it says, if you refuse instruction, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. Woo! Your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom and the honor of humility. Paul exhorts to prayer and thanksgiving to all men. even for kings and for all that are in authority. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. Pages are so thin. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Not just the leaders, not just, you know, smart people or whatever. It's for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority, yeah, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, of God our Savior, and will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man, Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, 1 Timothy, you know, 2, 12 through 14. And here, let's jump down. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled for that he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, for who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, he admits he was a, you know, who he was before Christ, you know, before he had that great experience on, you know, the road to Damascus, I guess it was. And what he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy. Lord, we just thank you for mercy, yes. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. You know, he had long-suffering on Paul. For a pattern to them with which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. You know, Jesus has, you know, the Lord has a long suffering. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Long suffering. You know, that we come to the knowledge of truth. You know, we repent and be saved. Amen. You know, Paul was very thankful. In Psalms 26, let's turn to Psalm 26. Psalm 26, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. That's what this psalm is about. But verse 6, I will wash my hands in indosi, so that I will compass thy altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. You know, what's he saying? I will wash my hands, you know, from guilt and sin, from the freedom from guilt and sin, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. He's going to make known, with his voice, thanksgiving, and tell all the wondrous works that he's done. In Psalm 95, you know, he's giving God thanks and praise for all that he's, you know, that he's done in their life. Psalm 95, a psalm of praise to the great God. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. This is a joyful noise of thanksgiving and praise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a king, great king above all gods. You know, now so many people today, you know, their idol is a different, their God is an idol, I should say. You know, it's probably AI or their phone or their laptop or their computer or money or whatever. Isaiah 51. Let's turn to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, you know, is the faithful are called to courage. You know, we have to have courage. Hearken to me, ye that follow after the righteous, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewed, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look to Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort her, all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hallelujah. You know, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. And to me today, that's the church. He will make her a wilderness like Eden. You know, and we're proclaiming that for this farm right now today. Lord, we just thank you that this place here that you bestowed upon me and Mama, Lord, was a wilderness. It was all grown over and with thorns and briar and just overtaken. But Lord, you give it to us and we've manicured it, you know. We're making this place like Eden. We were claiming this place is our Eden for the last days, amen. And, you know, pray that for where you're at. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want us to do these last days? And whatever, you know, give thanks. You know, with a voice of melody, praise the Lord. You know, he's got you here for such a time to me as this, you know. Verse 4, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. My arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. You know, that your habitation, where you are now, trust in the Lord. Amen. Revelation 7.
Hey, Pastor, hold it. What was that scripture you just said that said, in my arm shall they trust?
Oh, all right. I already turned back. Let me get back there. Isaiah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I'm kind of going through this fast because I had so much stuff and...
I know how you are. Yes, sir.
You always rebuke me. Not so long. Okay. I'm reading down here.
I guess I can look it up, Papa. No worries.
Uh-huh. Don't you hate that when you can't find
it? Isaiah 51:5.
Okay, yep.
Isaiah 51:5.
The isles that shall wait upon me, and my arm shall they trust. The isles is, you know, and I looked at, I got a footnote here that I wrote, the habitation places. So the places where you shall wait upon me, you know, the places where we're waiting upon the Lord, me when I'm sitting here at my desk, and you in your office, where you're in your prayer closet, whatever, when you, you know, the isles shall wait on me, and on my arm shall they trust.
That's really important, because in this end time situation, look what the beast is telling everybody. Trust in my arm. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to build for you. I'm going to make you great again. It's all about his arm.
Yeah, and I've got a footnote here that takes me to Isaiah 46:3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you.
Oh,
so he's
that
talking
is
about
such
the,
a beautiful
you know,
scripture.
You
yeah.
know.
That's Isaiah 46:3.
Yep. Isaiah 46:3 and 4.
Okay. All right, sir. All right. I'm going to get off here. Thank you.
And I've got a footnote under that. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And apparently I was here, February 21st of 25. So I was reading that then. Now I'm reading it again. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, it's where you're at, wherever you're. Okay. I was going to Revelation 7. Revelation 7, verse 12, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. You know, and this is, I'm trying to see here. I think it's the sixth seal or whatever. The seal was opened, and, but that's where, you know, I'm going to go up here. Verse 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and psalms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. And they're bowing down to God, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Woo! They're giving thanks for a lot of stuff, aren't they not? In everything, give thanks. All right. Let's go to Amos chapter 4. Let's see, I had it marked here. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. Amos chapter 4. Okay. Amos chapter 4. God's punishment has not reformed Israel. Okay. And we know when you get in the Old Testament over, and I was sharing this with June, you know, over and over, all through the Old Testament, you know, Israel were backslidden. They had idols and all this and that. And that's kind of what this is, what he's saying here. I'm going to start with verse 4. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanliness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I'm going to stop there. You know, he's describing, you know, God's judgment on the Israelites, you know, because of their corrupted worship, where their religious acts were performed with hypocrisy and a lack of genuine repentance, you know. But what are they doing in verse 6? Is, I also have given you cleanness of teeth, bragging. And I looked that up, and it's like they're bragging in all their cities and in one of all bread in all your places. They're bragging and they're not repenting, you know. And this verse, you know, it's sarcasm is what it is. You know, Amos is, he's, you know, the prophet commands them, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim the and publish or announce the free will offerings. You know, here you are, you know, you're giving thanks for all this stuff you got, but you're living an ungodly life. You know, they've twisted the law to suit their own desires. You know, and Amos is, you know, he's mocking them. You know, he was deliberately mocking of their practices because, you know, what? Leaven was forbidden in most offerings. And true free will offerings were meant to be done privately, not publicly announced. And here he is. He's telling them, oh, here you are. You're bragging. You're sputing out all your, you know, your thanksgiving and everything. But you're not doing it with a humble heart. You're not doing it privately to the Lord. You know, you're making a show of yourself. You know, the Israelites were practicing their rituals in what? In unauthorized places like Bethel and Gideon. You know, they weren't supposed to be there. You know, and here they are. They're making their worship and their transgressions rather than their true offering to God. You know, they were worshiping to false God and committing idolatry. And Amos is, you know, rebuking them. You know, he's rebuking them for their faults, you know, their, you know, the way they're living and stuff. You know, they're praising the Lord with thanksgiving, but in all the time here they are living in sin. And let's read on here once. I want to read this here. Verse 7. And also I have withholden the rain from you. And when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon the other city. One piece was rained upon, and a piece were upon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith saith the Lord. Verse 9, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. You know, he's smitten their gardens and their trees and their fruit trees, you know, with this mildew and plague. You know, this palm wormer is it's a disease, or it's a locust, excuse me, is what that is. You know, all this bad stuff come upon them in their gardens and their trees, yet they did not return to the Lord. Verse 10, I have set among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I have slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. You know, over and over, God's rebuking them. He's chastising them, but yet they won't come back to him. You know, it serves as a warning that God is not pleased, you know, with their hollow worship. And they will hold, you know, and he's going to hold them accountable for their transgressions, you know, their sins. You know, God desires genuine repentance and transformation, not superficial, you know, acts of piety like this. And that's what Amos is, you know. And look at here, you know, look at us today. You know, all the, you know, we believe, I believe, America's under judgment because of stuff like this. And over warnings, you know, warning after warning the people received from the prophets. But yet God's people were unwilling to be controlled, even though the Lord God used the rod. Over and over, God chastised them. Warning after warning from the prophets, but God's people were unwilling to be controlled. They didn't, you know. That's what this is about. Psalm 32:9 urges believers not to be like the horse and the mule. Let's turn to this. This is pretty good. Psalm 32. But, you know, Psalm 32:9. Be ye not as horses, or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteousness, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You know, he's urging them not to be like the horse and the mule, which have no understanding, you know, but must be controlled by the bit and the bridle, you know. But instead, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. This means to have a sincere, honest, and morally straight inner character that is aligned with the righteousness of truth. You know, it involves a genuine commitment, you know, of one's principles, you know, integrity in action and thoughts. You know, it requires the desire to live a life that is pleasing to God. It's about having a heart free from deceit. Whoa. as we see all over the board today. A consistent walk with the Lord and a willingness to be guided by moral virtues, principles, you know, being upright in heart. You know, it's not about being perfect or without flaws. Instead, it's a continuous posture of sincerity and a steady alignment of one's inner life, you know, from the soul, with a moral code of excellence. You know, we have to, we have to have a standard. It's more an internal disposition that influences the person's behavior and decisions. You know, hopefully to hearing from the Holy Spirit, you might say, to lead and to guide us, you know, on one's path rather than an external display of perfection, you know. A godly person being one who's unbending and standing straight up for the Lord and His word. Amen. You know, that Hebrew word, root for upright. Let's see here, and that's in Joshua, we're going to read, speaks that which is straight and right, and that word integrity come to my mind. Joshua 24, let's turn to Joshua 24. You know, Joshua 24 is a call for the Israelites to make a conscious choice to serve the one true God rather than the false gods of their ancestors or the Canaanites. You know, Joshua urges them to fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away idolatry. The passage leads up to Joshua's most powerful declaration, and that's verse 15. But for, well, I'm going to go to the latter part of that scripture. Well, I'll read the whole one, and this is Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You know, we all have a choice and a challenge. The clear choice is to serve the Lord God Almighty. You know, it is the right path. You know, the call to fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, you know, that's central. It's not a casual decision, but one that requires, you know, a wholehearted devotion and the rejection of false idols. You know, all these idols that we were talking about, whatever they might be, you know, that could be your God. It's a deliberate choice about whom or what to serve in one's life, whether that is the living God or modern day idols like wealth, possessions, entertainment, your phone, your computer, AI. You know, I mean, the list is endless, you know. Psalm 15, you know, talks about choose wisely who shall dwell in thy holy hill. Let's turn to Psalm 15 quick. You know, and this is a very short psalm, but it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that searcheth to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that does these things shall never be moved. Amen. In Psalm 84, 4, blessed are they that dwell in the house, and blessed is the man that trusted in thee. Verse 12. And we're coming right down to the end here now. 1 Thessalonians. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and again, you know, and this is about the times and the season, brethren, which ye have no need I write unto you. But he's saying here in verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And here's the key. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, God wants us to maintain a spirit of thankfulness that isn't dimmed with things so poorly or don't go our way. You know, he wants us to recognize the endless supply of things we can and should be grateful for. You know, pray without ceasing. You know, give thanks in everything. And that reminds me of Psalm 150. I think it's verse 6. How does that go now? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And let's go back to 1 Timothy for final note here, I think. First Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, when we was earlier talking about, you know, twisting God's word, you know, they're giving half truths. You know, that's what's happening. We see that all over the board. They're twisting scriptures to lead people into the beast system, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Amen. And then my last scripture, Colossians 1, 1 through 17 is about, and I'm not going to go there right now, but I just want to encourage everybody to go to Colossians 1 and read from 1 through 17, because it's about the prayer for spiritual wisdom. And in verse 3 it says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Again, here he is, praying and thanking God for all these his faithful followers. In verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us met to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that word is met means to fit, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And to me, that's giving thanks unto God the Father for spiritual, good, for enlightenment from the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, in these times. So we need to be very thankful for the Lord. So let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you right now, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us, and that we would have thankful hearts and hearts of gratitude, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives and all that you've supplied and provided for us, Lord. So we just
All right, guys. Sorry about that. We had friction, of course, where the lights went off in the house and in the office just for a second, which shut everything down. Just the devil. Our website down today and now this. But I just pray to God we didn't lose that recording. You know, Lord, please let that sermon have been recorded. But Pastor was already finished, and basically this sermon today is warning about artificial intelligence in the last days and encouraging everybody not to lose their focus because of all the technology advances is what he's saying. And the Lord is really encouraging us today that if we will keep him as our God and trust in his hand for the provision and everything and the wisdom, that he will prove himself faithful. He is a faithful God. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor and for giving him fresh manna every week, Lord. We just speak blessings over him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. Heal his body. Heal his heart. Bless him in every way. Thank you, Lord, for giving him prophetic understanding and speaking to him through the night and all the wonderful things that you do to give us this manna from heaven, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord, for our pastor and for blessing us. And Lord, I pray for the church out there, for anyone and the situations that they are going through, God. No matter where they're listening at, from China, Australia, United Kingdom, Canada, all the different places, Lord, you know what each person is dealing with right now. You are the same God in every country, in every domain. You're the same God. And we thank you that this is what brings us together, is you. You're the glue that holds us all together, Lord. And we worship your holy name. We choose today who we're serving. And that is you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all gods. How we worship you today. And Lord, how we celebrate how you sent Jesus, God, how you sent him to be the sacrifice for our sins. As we spend the next month celebrating what that day means, we just thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us and how you came to bring us salvation. Lord, we worship you today and we praise your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen.